Welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Matt.
And my name's Chris. And we believe that Catholic fatherhood can transform the world. All right, guys, seriously, we were talking about the new movie Lightyear. Now we have actually seen it, and there is a gay kiss in it. There's a lesbian couple. In fact, the only parents that are showcased in this movie are two females that somehow get pregnant and have a child. Right?
Yes.
That's absolutely true. Yes, it's absolutely true. So there's an implied parent with the grandparents. Okay, spoilers ahead. But you guys, if you're watching this, you're probably watching to see whether or not you should or your kids should see this movie. So Matt, would you allow your kids to see this movie?
Yes.
Don't you have a question for me?
Oh, okay. Chris, would you allow your kids to see the movie?
Absolutely not, and I would encourage each one of you not to see this movie, and I'm going to explain that why in our time together today. Okay, so why are you okay with the kids seeing the movie?
I'm going to explain the same thing. No, first off, I actually want to talk about the movie because I was actually, I was underwhelmed by the, all the hubbub that was made about it before the movie was out. I was like, that was it? Like, it was just this tiny little peck of a kiss.
You mean the gay kiss?
Yeah. I was like, that was what the big deal was? And I was like, this is stupid. And what really surprised me was, because if those of you who don't know, like, the way that they show the development of the family is in, 10-second clips.
Montage. Yeah.
And maybe it's a couple minutes, but in one scene, you see that she's engaged and he's like, oh, who is it? Or whatever. And she's here, she's there, but she's not in the picture. Then you fast forward, 4 or 5 years, then you get another 2 minute scene. And then another 2 minute scene after that. So it's not a whole lot of content, to be honest. It's all of that is over in the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. So after the first 30 minutes, you can relax and you can just enjoy the film without any other implied kind of homosexual or same sex type of interaction and things like that.
You hear a couple of things, but it's not like it is in the beginning. But in one of those scenes, one of the partners is pregnant. And it's a lesbian couple. And you're like, okay, well, how did she get pregnant? And so it's like all of a sudden she's pregnant. And it was just very interesting because we know how that happens.
I've got six kids. You've got six kids. There are some biological realities that aren't possible with a lesbian couple. Correct.
Yeah. And so
mention the premise of the movie is that they end up crashing on a foreign planet, a hostile foreign planet, and then they're trying to get off the planet by doing a number of different experiments with fuel. So when he comes back after leaving, each trip takes him just a few minutes, but it's 4 years in that planet's time. Each time he comes back, it's like a new chapter is turned. So they do this montage with Commander Hawthorne, his kind of best space ranger friend or whatever. And she ages and goes through an engagement, a pregnancy, and then to the passing, her death, all within a 4 minute kind of clip of him jumping back in the plane and going and jumping back in the rocket ship and going. And so you see these little clips. One of those clips is that they're pregnant. Keep in mind, they are stranded on this foreign land. Right. And they don't explain that they developed, in vitro technology while they were on this foreign planet.
I don't think there's any doubt that society had that ability then. They're sending people to space and developing hyper rocket fuel. They know how to do in vitro fertilization. It's like,
I believe that the devil is one who confuses and our God is one who brings things to order. And that, I believe, is a concern for me. So the kiss was a concern. The marriage was a concern. The pregnancy was a concern. And the fact that there were no hetero couples in the entirety of the movie was also a concern. I could soften my opinion or view on it if there were some hetero couples parents and things like that that were showcased in the film. But there was only one that was implied. Other than that, there were zero that were showcased. And that's a concern for me, which is why I
get that. And I can sympathize with that. But there were no other couples, period. There was only one couple. That's it. It's not like there was like 10 lesbian couples, you know, running around. You know, there was one couple that was displayed, and that's it.
Running around.
I don't know.
They're not animals. They're humans with dignity, buddy. Like, so tone it down, Matt.
So it's like there was one couple, and yeah, I get it. There was only And so I can see that point, but my wife and I were talking before we even went into the movie, and like there was one point you made in the before we saw the movie, you know, episode. If you guys haven't seen that, go back and see that. Make sure if you haven't already, like this episode, like the other episode, and all that stuff. But in the last episode, one of the things that you had talked about was, you know, I think you made the point of like why even have kissing. Like at all in a kid's movie. And like when I was talking to my wife before it was like, it doesn't make sense. Like for the kids, the need for a kiss is negligible, or like there's no need for a kiss in any movie. I was even talking with Jennifer, you know, here in the office this morning, you know, that even in like a princess prince kind of thing, at the culmination of the movie, a hug would suffice for kids. Like kids don't.
A high five would be enough. Correct. Yeah.
You know, kids don't even need, they don't need to see a kiss, and they actually get grossed out by it. They're like, ew, gross. Yep. You know, so the whole reason that kisses are in movies and in adult themes, because that's an adult theme. Even what we're talking about here is an adult theme. Most kids are not going to pick up on that's shown. The reason that's in there is because adults bring their kids. You know, the reason that the prince kisses the princess at the end of the movie is for the adults in the theater. It's not for the kids. And so this was absolutely, in my mind, something put in there for adults. And some people believe also to brainwash our kids into thinking it's okay or whatever. But kissing in general in kids' movies is not in there for the kids. It's not necessary for them.
Okay, so I believe that it was put in there because I've read some of the different articles, because the Disney animators wanted it in there and they got mad at DeSantos, the Florida governor, and so they put it in there as kind of a middle finger towards a political piece. That's a piece of the puzzle. But nevertheless, it was the problem with the kiss is it was very tastefully done.
Yeah.
Like it absolutely was. She was old, basically about on her deathbed, and she received a kiss from her partner. It wasn't like they were making out or anything like that. It was very tastefully done, which is the problem. Like, because it's so tastefully done, you're like, okay, then I think it should be fine if my kids see that. But I'm going to let you know that I don't want Disney to lead the dialogue on this. Furthermore, they promoted a gay marriage in this film. And then the confusion of a lesbian getting pregnant, like those things just on in regards to like biblical truths and things like that, that's acting on same-sex attraction in a way that we as Catholics disagree with, right? In a moral standard, those things lead to our moral destruction, right? On a long-term basis. And so we have to be able to stand for truth in those areas. And so I don't want my kids to see it. My son had the opportunity to go today as part of a birthday present or a first Holy Communion present that he received. And my wife and I made the decision to say no after we saw the movie last night. It grieved us. And the fact that this was being put into a kid's movie, that children were being leveraged or children movies were being leveraged for forcing this type of dialogue in a way that's unfair. And so if you want to take your kids to go see it, the one thing I would ask, first of all, I would say, don't take your kids to go see this movie. Like, we vote with our dollars and we need to say that, no, we as parents want to lead that dialogue. We don't want Disney to lead that dialogue. But number two, if you're going to see it, if you have to see it, if grandma and grandpa are going to take the kids and they've been looking forward to it, whatever it is, don't go see it on opening week. That's where numbers come in and things like that. Let's try and at least on the pocketbook level say, I do not want this to take place. Why? Because there's some harsh words being around. If you believe that gay marriage is against biblical truths, there's some people that have some words for you, right? If you don't think that a lesbian kiss should be taking place in a kid's movie, actor Chris Evans, who is the one who played the voice of Buzz Lightyear, he says the real truth is those people are idiots. So he's calling me an idiot. I'm still not quite sure where Matt Rice stands. Maybe there's only one idiot on this podcast, but Chris Evans, those people are idiots. There are always those people who are going to be afraid and unaware and trying to hold on to what was before. Back when, you know, family values existed pretty more commonly, the Leave It to Beaver generation and things like that. But those people die off like dinosaurs. I mean, sorry, Chris Evans, but not according to natural law. Everyone dies off. But only those who can procreate actually continue, right? I think the goal, this is Chris again, I think the goal is to pay them no mind, march forward, and embrace the growth that makes us human. Every time there's been a societal advancement as we wake up, the American story, the human story, is one of constant social awakening and growth. And that's what makes us good, right? And so in this whole movement towards social awakening and growth, let's go ahead and look at how it's impacted Generation Z. Chris Evans, Mr. Evans, Buzz Lightyear voice, listen to me. These people, this Generation Z, they are considered the loneliest generation. They have the highest cases of mental health issues, depression, and suicide attempts. Like, if we want to call that advancement, call it what you will, but I am going, as for me in my house, I'm going to protect my kids from this type of thing entering our home and entering into our children, unless I'm the one leading the dialogue in regards to that. So that is my big soapbox. And yes, call me a bigot, Mr. Evans. Call me an idiot, Mr. Evans. But it's my duty as a father to stand in the breach.
I don't know if anybody else is going to have as hard a time following in that as I did. Because it's Chris and Chris. And you said Chris here, Chris there, Chris here. It's like, I don't know which one was...
I tried to start saying Mr. Evans.
Which
I'm
ones
sorry.
Are your words and which ones are his? And there weren't... I don't feel like there were enough breaks between what he said and what you were saying to know which one was which. But maybe everybody like got the gist. I think we got the gist.
He called us idiots and he called me an idiot and said that human evolution or advancement takes place through moments such as these, at which I vehemently disagree with Mr. Evans on that.
So where I sit on this, you know, is trying to pay attention and look at this, knowing the society we're living in. Chris, are we in Christendom or are we in apostolic times?
We are in apostolic times. And yes. So what that means, Christendom would be kind of Leave It to Beaver, where everyone, you can assume that your neighbor is a believer in Jesus Christ. Whereas apostolic mission or apostolic times is a time where we are not holding or the society does not support Christian values in the majority sense.
Yeah. So in Christendom, you send your kids to the movies. You know that the movies are going to uphold your values. In apostolic times, you send your kids to the movies and you can bet that almost all the movies are not going to uphold your values. And so... my goal is to equip my kids to live in the world that they're living in, not live in the world that they're not living in, you know? And so the way that I think about this is, I've got two different thoughts here. One of them is I want this to become normal. Like Christians are fighting against the normalization of homosexuality. I want it to become normal because when it becomes normal, it becomes boring. Like, and that sounds messed up, but when it becomes boring and it's normal, then the coolness and the trattiness around this goes away. And all of this, I don't know, this is going to sound messed up, but it will no longer be cool to be gay. It'll be normal, you know? And when that happens, then there's going to be this equilibrium that's going to happen. Christians are actually going to know how to love gay people. Right now, Christians have no idea how to love gay people. They don't.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Really? Christians as a whole do a really good job of loving gay people?
I think that LGBTQ as a whole does a really good job at vilifying Christianity. And society as a whole views Christians as bigots or haters. But if you talk to an individual Christian as a homosexual, I think that you would find, as a whole, that most Christians are willing to have dialogue and love you, even though your actions are something they can't support or love.
I don't know.
I think normalization of sinful things is a very dangerous thing. And again, homosexuality that is acted upon is what I'm talking about.
Sure.
To clarify, same-sex inclination is not a sin, is acting on that. And so pornography, in regards to usage, majority of men in America utilize that. That's normalized. It's still not out in the open. It's still not like boring or whatever, right?
Yep.
Divorce, that's normalized, right? Broken homes is normalized, right? I don't want that. I don't want that with homosexuality. I don't want it with divorce. I don't want it with pornography. I don't want it with alcoholism. I don't want it with drug or substance abuse. I don't. Like, these are things that I think as Christians, we can support a culture that stands against and is opposed to, or at least is seeking to transform. And so in seeking to transform, we do have dollars that we get to vote with. And so not seeing this movie, or not seeing this movie on opening weekend, or vid angeling it, or whatever you can do to skip the parts that aren't healthy or wholesome for your kids. Like, there's movies out there, like The Greatest Showman is a great example of a blockbuster film that upheld values that wasn't a Christian explicit film, but it was one that I think that a lot of families could rally around. My kids were watching Cheaper by the Dozen. I know it's an old movie, but they were watching Cheaper by the Dozen as my wife and I were packing up to head to Lightyear. They saw a more wholesome movie than we did.
So I don't think that your comparisons are good. When I think about the normalization, this isn't going to be fair because but it's going to be more fair than what Chris just said. But
Chris Evans? Yeah,
comparing same-sex attraction to pornography is not fair. I don't want to normalize pornography in the same way that I would want to normalize, you know, the existence of same-sex attraction. So where I would see a good comparison is in let's just pick depression. You know, being depressed and that being normalized and needing to have
acting on depression is not sinful.
Stop. Okay. So the fact that people are now able to go to a psychiatrist or psychologist and not have this stigma. About,
you're right,
having something that they're struggling with, that's a good thing. And it's good for their health. It's good for society. It's good. And so the stigma around having same-sex attraction is what I want normalized. Because same-sex attraction, being same-sex attracted is not a sin. And it's not normal enough, like, yet for it to, are you getting what I'm saying?
Many of those who would like to live out their Christian faith but have same-sex attraction feel like they have to live in the shadows in order to live out their faith.
Yes.
Right? They can't be open about their struggle and still publicly live out their faith. However, and I agree with you in regards to that. And for that, I think that the depression or mental health analogy, we need to destigmatize just even journeying or struggling or even talking about sexuality in general as Christians. Like, theology of the body is something that's seen as just something for high schoolers and beyond. And I think that we can start talking about theology of the body type of things in fourth grade, fifth grade, age appropriate level. So I agree with you in regards to that. My concern is that this movie did nothing to talk about that journey, that struggle, or journeying with someone who is experiencing same-sex attraction. I felt like it was normalizing the action of or acting upon the same-sex attraction in what we believe to be a sinful way.
Yeah, and then the reason I would push back on that is, what kind of society are we living in? It's not it's not Christendom. You know, this is a post-Christian society. And so for us to expect Christian values to be lived out in a post-Christian society I feel like it's naive, you know, to think that they're going to live like that. Does that make sense?
But do you want your daughter to experience divorce? Divorce is normalized. Do you want your daughter to experience divorce someday?
No. And how do I prevent that? Do I prevent that by railing at the society and telling society how bad they are, or avoiding a movie that has a divorced person in it? Or how do I avoid it? Right. Answer that. So, how do you avoid it?
So how you avoid it is by engaging your daughter in regards to the beauty of marriage. And then if she is dating someone who is like, oh yeah, we'll probably end up getting divorced, but that's just how things go, then you would absolutely step into the breach and say, daughter, this is a bad idea.
My point is you won't need to. Like the way you avoid that is by having a wholesome marriage yourself. That's how you avoid that, is by having a very strong Christian marriage at your in your home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing you can do is that.
That is absolutely the number one thing. But if you don't communicate your values, they are absolutely absorbed, but they can be lived out. If you see an oncoming train coming towards your daughter and her car is parked on the tracks, you're going to tell her to get out of the way.
For sure. And I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, but my daughter wouldn't date that guy.
I hate to tell you, man, but I don't know if you just saw this movie Lightyear, but the institution of marriage is definitely not being honored by the media that that is out there for our kids. And so they get to see us and they get to live in our homes, but they also live in the culture just as much, if not more, right? The average dad does not send their kids to a Catholic school like you do. So there are some things that you're doing in regards to values. Now, you sending your kids to Catholic school is not you railing against public schools. And me standing for family values is not me railing against a same-sex kiss. But I absolutely think that this movie should be avoided. And yeah, it's not because I'm a bigot or things like that. But I think that we are supposed to stand in the breach. And we have already talked to our older kids about why they will not see it. Yeah. And they were like, oh, I understand. So we've had the dialogue.
So years ago, Jim Beckman came and gave a talk. And it was funny because we asked him to come and give a talk to the parents about homosexuality and what should they do, yada, yada, yada. And he didn't give us the talk that we were hoping for, which is real interesting. You know, what he talked about, and Chris, you've heard this analogy before, and many of you watching this have probably heard these analogies before, you know, but like one of the things that the examples he gave was bank tellers. You know, when they're training bank tellers on how to tell a counterfeit
bill. Find a counterfeit.
They don't show them all of the counterfeits and tell them how it's a counterfeit. What they do is they show them a true bill. Like this is what a bill looks like.
Yes.
What?
What are you laughing at? This movie does nothing. This movie does nothing to show what an authentic bill looks like.
That's my point. It's not about the movie. It's about what I'm doing in my home. In my home, if my kids see truth and I share with them what truth is, if they know what truth is, when they see something that's not true out in the world, they're going to be able to compare it to the truth that we've shared with them and tell that this is counterfeit. And no matter how much counterfeit stuff the world throws at them, they can still compare it to the truth. And that's my
excellent
job. That's
yes,
my job.
Absolutely. Which is why they would be extremely confused if you, who have been showing them the truth for so long, load them up in your car and take them to a movie that shows a same-sex kiss. That would be confusing for me as a child, because your four-year-old is not going to drive or walk to this movie on their own.
True.
They're going to go with a trusted adult, and that trusted adult is implicitly endorsing the actions on screen by the mere fact that they took him to this movie. If they see it at a friend's house at a sleepover 6 months from now, and they come home and say, Dad, I saw something really weird, and I want to talk to you about it, boom, you've done a great job parenting. But you taking them actually clouds the message that you're living in your home.
You taking them and not talking about it, I agree. 100%. Taking them and talking about it reinforces the truth
encourage, if you're going to take them, and I would encourage you talking about it beforehand.
Sure.
Not afterwards, but beforehand. There's going to be a piece in this movie, and this is what's going to happen. Just to be clear, we don't believe in those things, even though the church has, you know, this position. We love those people. We journey with those people. We're not mad at those people. These things are all true. But we don't believe that that's the way to the fullness of life that God calls us to, right?
Yeah,
that's a big caveat. Would you let someone else take your kids to this movie?
Yeah, because then why wouldn't I also have the conversation with them? Then they may have gone my dad to see the movie today, you know, and then I can have the conversation with them. Hey, did you notice anything a little weird in the movie? You know, something that was a little confusing. You know,
yeah,
and it opens up dialogue and conversation. The thing is living in a post-Christian society, we cannot pretend like it's Christian. And by avoiding stuff like this, I think we're pretending like it's a Christian, like we're trying to make it feel like a Christian society to our kids. It's not. We need to make sure our kids realize it's not a Christian society.
But
equip them on how to navigate that.
I know, but if you're going to a place that cuts hair, but is also launders money for a drug cartel, right?
Do these straw man arguments, and it's stupid. Like, of course we're not going to do that. Find one that's realistic, and let's talk about that one, Chris.
Okay, so would you take your kids to a movie that is pushing something that's opposite of family values when you could take them to an alternative that is pushing family values, or at least is neutral in the charge? We vote with our dollars. I'm saying that you're voting as a father to continue media that goes against the Christian values. I would say you can still engage people in that reality without, and still be a member of society without, putting money towards that reality.
The thought that this is, and this may be, I don't know, fatalistic or whatever, but the thought that we can actually vote and make a difference at this stage with movies, I think it's silly.
It's asinine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't think there's any way I don't think there's going to be enough Christians to say no to something to make a difference. And that's not me being hopeless or despairing. It's like the world we live in. Like, this is the world we live in, and so we need to equip ourselves to live in that world. And to and this may be counter to what I'm saying the whole time is to. Like that, one of the analogies they give in that book, for those of y'all that haven't seen it, is, you know, when you're in Christendom, it's as if you're in a canoe, you know, going downstream, and everyone's going downstream with you. That's Christendom. You know, your kid falls out of the boat, whatever, the next person going downstream can grab them and they go down the boat with you, whatever. But in apostolic times, you're going upstream. Like, you are going upstream and you stick out like a sore thumb. Everyone can tell that you are not part of that culture. You're not part of whatever, the movement of society. And so how do you do that in this scenario? Like, Chris, you would argue you don't go to the movie. And that causes you to stick out. I would say that we go to the movie equipped, or we can go to the movie equipped to talk about it. Because, like, what if, like, and I'm not, like, not that this would happen, but if our kids are equipped and they're, I don't know, let's just say they're 12 or 13, and they're at a sleepover. Oh, did you see Buzz Lightyear? Oh yeah. Did you see them kiss? Yeah. Didn't you think that was weird? And like, our kids are actually equipped to have conversations about stuff like that. Whereas if they never have those conversations, they never experience, the world, then when they're faced with those conversations with their friends, they're going to say, oh yeah, I don't know. What are you talking about? You know,
so my kids are ready to have that conversation. They haven't seen the movie, and we had the conversation about the movie. This is why we're not going to see it. This is what took place in the movie, at least my older ones. And I saved $30. Boom.
Boom.
Matt, there are enough Christians to turn the tide. In the United States, if all the Christians voted together, we would, you know, but what's missing is there's enough Christians with conviction. I do not see the fruit. I don't see the fruit in seeing the movie as to accomplishing the end. I don't see this movie, Lightyear, as a tool in my toolbox to be able to lead my kids closer to Jesus and to lead my kids closer to mission in regards to engaging this world. That can be done with a conversation over the dinner table. It does not require me to go to the movie to be able to see it. And so I think it would be prudent for every discerning parent to consider that course of action over seeing the movie or allowing their kids to see the movie. I think the sacrifice that's required, my son is at home today. His friend is at the movie as we speak. Like, that type of sacrifice is the type of sacrifice that builds the grit that's needed to live as a Christian in the apostolic times that we're in. Yeah. And so, yes, have that conversation. Yes, it stinks. Yes, you're probably going to watch a movie that came out 15 years ago. That's fine. But let's move forward knowing that there are sacrifices, and the highest form of sacrifice is shown as an act of love on the cross by Jesus Christ himself. Sacrificial love is a part of it. Like, it's convenient to be able to let our kids to try and justify showcasing this film. I can't do it. It does not make sense to me. I'm not judging those who do. I say, if you do, you have to dialogue. And please don't do it on opening weekend. those are my contingencies. If you choose, you have to have dialogue with your kids prior to it. That would be my encouragement. But the beauty of Disney is that kiss was totally just like, that's not that big of a deal. Like, that is the wolf in sheepskin that Disney has done. It was a genius way to introduce cartoon same-sex kissing. It was absolutely amazing in regards to like, oh, those were two elderly women. Yes, they were romantically involved, but it wasn't a romantic kiss. It was a really enduring, like, absolutely. I was a fan of that aspect of it, right? And then I stopped and said, holy cow, this is how they get it past me. They get the first shot past me, and then they get every other shot past me in the future. Like, no, we have to stand firm and hold the line, even if we're standing alone. And I'm willing to have my family stand alone in this.
Yeah, and like what we haven't really touched on, and this is not necessarily this topic, it was the same kind of thing we talked about last time, you know, was, yeah. And it's a different topic. And maybe it's something we dive in deeper with our friends from Eden Invitation or something like that. But, you know, what does chaste same-sex, you know, life look like? You know?
And I think that's a great question. So we are called to journey with those who have same-sex attraction. The question is how?
Yeah.
My response is not through Buzz Lightyear movie. That would be my response. But that still is an inadequate response because that doesn't actually equip and empower. So dads, yeah. I want to commit to you that we are going to seek this answer out and try and have someone on here so that we can ask, if I as a father had a daughter or son who is struggling with same-sex attraction, how would I journey with them and love them? What would someone who's struggling with same-sex attraction want from their father? I think that's a great question to ask. I think Eden Invitation, which seeks out chaste living in the midst of same-sex attraction, is a great ministry to look into, and even for us to try and bring on as a guest on our podcast, our show.
Yeah. And I know they're heavily sought after, you know, and they're busy all the time, and they get tired of answering
these questions. June is over, they'll have more bandwidth.
Shut up.
Oh. Well, it's true. Yeah. It's true. So, yeah. Good. Hey, guys. Closing thoughts, Matt?
No, I just think that, you know, there's, I don't know. I can't wait for the day when the Catholic Church and Catholics are seen as the safe place for same-sex attracted Christians to live.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait for the domino before that, to where Christianity creates safe places more than it creates unsafe places for those who struggle with same-sex attraction.
Yeah, I was going to say, the reason why I wanted to talk about this movie is, you know, stuff like this brings out some of the nasty in the Christian world. Just how afraid Christians are. It brings out the fear in Christians, and it just makes me sad.
And unfortunately, there is a battle on both sides. And I believe that there are things being, I don't want to say weaponized, but things that are hostile towards our children that we have to stand in the breach for, while at the same time trying to equip and empower with conversation about how we can still be charitable towards a side that at times is hostile towards our belief in Jesus, right? Or our belief in marriage, mm-hmm. You know? So you did see a little bit more fire in my belly than the last time. And there's a bit more conviction, but at the same time, I think that unfortunately there do feel like there's sides. I feel like the other side is even more animate and even more hostile to the fact that I wake up every morning and make the sign of the cross. Mm-hmm. But I believe that action is more transformative. And so let's continue on in our Catholic fatherhood, navigating these areas that I see a little bit more black and white now after seeing the movie. And Matt, you still hold is gray. And I think that's important because we have to be able to navigate and journey together. So you guys, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. Post in the comments below, hit that like button or hit that dislike button. Let us know if you thought that. And then if you dislike it, tell us who you dislike more, Chris Evans or Matt Rice. So Chris Evans or Matt Rice. We want to engage with you. Hear how else you would like us to explore this topic. And again, thanks for joining us at the Catholic Dad Show. Share it with someone, subscribe. And we believe that Catholic dads, Catholic fatherhood can change the world. So let's go change the world.
Amen. Bye, guys.